And now on the Chris Smith Show, telling it like it is with Andrew Bolt.
Afternoon, Andrew.
Chris Smith, what a pleasure.
Did you have a chance to watch any of the Commonwealth Games on replay today? I know you couldn't have because you were on TV on Sky at 7 and then with Steve at 8 o'clock, but have you seen how long they dedicated to Indigenous art and culture and dance and fire last night?
I only saw some pictures. We were getting updates from frustrated listeners, viewers who were watching, saying, yet another elder, and now this and that. It's quite extraordinary. One in 40 Australians only identify as Aborigines, according to the latest census, but you'd think that it was one in four, or probably more, from the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony.
I expected reverence and a dedication to the great culture of Aboriginal Australia. I expected it at the Sydney Olympics, and we got it as well. But we didn't get 22 minutes of it, and I thought we did so.
Was it 22 minutes?
I went on the counter this morning to try and get a rough count, about 21 and a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. And the sort of the sort of culture that you see represented is that what, if I went to an Aboriginal community, is that what I'd actually see there?
Yeah, good point.
Well, I'm not so sure. Look, what good has it done? I mean, there are also representatives of Indigenous culture outside the stadium, weren't there? They were the ones getting arrested, trying to smash their way in. There were
maybe they were protesting at the amount of time that we dedicated to Aboriginal culture.
What about the ones that stopped the baton relay? What about them?
Yeah, they didn't get a chance to see the opening ceremony, obviously.
Look, I just wonder where all this is leading, you know, because the more it seems to me that the people are kowtowing, out of guilt or whatever, the more some, and a minority, some activists seem to think they've got to arc up their demands, they're no compromise stand.
Isn't that exactly what's happening?
But just because the whole thing is, and I'm sure you've said the same. We've said this for years, that this is an implacable process. You can say sorry, but then it goes to the next step. You can offer compensation, but then it goes to the next step. I think we're nearly now at the point of apartheid. We are at the point of apartheid now. I mean, just north of Brisbane, for instance, is one of several parts of the country which some Aboriginal groups have now declared as sovereign nations, the Yidinji Nation, based in Cairns. I went there. I had to get a pass to go and talk to their Prime Minister and their Foreign Minister. I mean, it's extraordinary. And that's now the demand. The people protesting who blocked the baton relay yesterday were people saying, we have never given up sovereignty, we don't accept sovereignty, we don't accept non-Aboriginal sovereignty, this is our country. Arnhem Land will be, I think, the next flashpoint for that. I talked to one of the top leaders there, they want sovereignty there. That's going to be the next issue, and inevitably, the path we're on will lead to that, a form of apartheid in this country. And I just said, we've got to stop it.
And as you wrote in News Corp papers today, not only are we bending over backwards, we're actually moving backwards at the same time, aren't we?
Well, I think we are. I think it's a retreat to tribalism that I thought we'd... one of the great developments in Western civilization has been to see, and it's inspired by Christianity, see each other as individuals and just put aside tribal differences and skin differences and all that. I know we're very, very imperfect. Human beings are like that. But that was the ideal. And it was inspired, and I say this as a non-Christian, inspired by Christianity. I went to Africa once and I saw aid organizations at work in Ethiopia and in Uganda, and they were helping. There were people of one tribe helping people of another tribe. People of it was a fundamentally Christian charity helping non-Christians, Muslims, actually. I didn't see Muslims helping Christians, Muslim charity groups helping Christian groups. I did see Christian ones helping Muslim. And I spoke to one of the people in Uganda who said, well, this is the message of Christianity, to see each other beyond skin, beyond tribe, beyond this, as one people. It's very, very healthy. But here we're going exactly the opposite way around.
Yep, hospitals, grieving rooms.
Well, just go through a couple of those examples. New South Wales. as you've covered. A need going out, we need Indigenous spaces or culturally sensitive spaces for Aboriginal patients. You may as well put up a sign, no whites here. You know, straight out of a... I'm sure South Africa's got a whole lot of signs out there, blacks only, whites only, and we can borrow them now. Yeah. You know, they don't need them because they got rid of apartheid. We can have them now. You've got Aboriginal-only computer rooms. You remember in the Queensland University of Technology, students have complained against this segregation. We'll take it to the Human Rights Commission. We've actually got a great human rights, you know, bureaucracy that now punishes you if you complain against segregation. I mean, it's just quite astonishing. And you've got, of course, Federal Labor, and this is very, very serious, saying that they want an Aboriginal-only kind of parliament, advisory parliament, they say, but inevitably, an Aboriginal-only parliament and in the Constitution. I mean, this is apartheid. Mm. And I can't understand it. People are saying, well, it's good apartheid, or it's, you know, this is all meant well. But whether it's meant well or meant badly, it's evil.
And racist.
And it's racist. It's fundamentally racist. And particularly in Australia, it's, for me, it's such an artificial construct. You have a look, not all, you know, but you have a look, many of the most prominent Aboriginal activists in this country clearly have non-Aboriginal ancestors as well. So when they rail against the settlers and the colonialists and all that, they're railing against some of their own ancestors, for heaven's sake. Yeah. So why are they claiming to be only of one so-called race and not both? It's so, for me, it's entirely artificial. And this phenomenon, of course, will get more absurd the more generations further on we get, because the intermarriage rates with Aborigines and people identifying as Aboriginals and non-Aboriginals are quite high.
Exactly. I'll leave it there. I want to take a quick break, if I may, and I do want to catch up with you about Scott Morrison and how he came out with his coal cost, which we put to bed about 10 minutes ago. We'll get your views on all of that. Andrew Bolt after the break. Yeah, I remember well, as you do, Andrew, Scott Morrison charging into the Parliament with his big lump of coal, calling the Labor Party coalophobes.
We cheered him, didn't we?
We cheered him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I won't play the whole bit because it does go for several minutes, but he was so supportive of a coal industry, and there he is yesterday. I was saying, oh, no, it'll be $80 per megawatt hour. Well, I've just spoken to the man in charge of coal at the Minerals Council. He cited two major firms that have got together in 2017 and done all the costings on a brownfield site, so somewhere like Liddell or Hazelwood, you could produce coal at $55 a megawatt hour. No environmental problems, no 12 years to wait for one. You could get one up in 4 years because it's a brownfield site. The environmental permissions have already been given. The transmission lines are there. The coal is next door. What's he trying to do?
What figure did they give?
They gave 55 megawatts.
55.
Hour.
Well, that's interesting because that's also Craig Kelly, who's chairman of their, electricity, whatever it is, group in Parliament, was saying that there's a huge plant being built right now in Dubai, 55 megawatt hours.
Yeah, and they have to import their coal.
And they have to import their coal, right? So if they can do it for 55. And, of course, there's more than 600 new coal-fired power stations being built around the world. So clearly every other country except Australia seems to think you can do it, but somehow you've got the Treasurer now issuing these dodgy claims that it wasn't 55 megawatt hours, or you couldn't do it for less than 70-odd. Why is he telling these porkies?
Yeah,
he's the Treasurer. Why is he telling these porkies? Why is he claiming that we can't do what other countries around the world, China, Japan, all these other countries, they can do it, but somehow we can't. And we've actually got, like in Victoria, we've got 500 years of coal sitting in the ground, and we say, oh, no, we can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, somehow we're so stupid that we can't do it. I tell you who's stupid. It's the politicians trying to tell us that we can't do it.
Absolutely.
Because of their stupid rules. Yeah. That's why we're so stupid. That's the only stupidity here. And as a consequence, people are losing their jobs, they're getting power bills that they can't afford, and it's all for nothing. It's all for this global warming idiocy. Whatever we do will not change the temperature by a flicker. Swear to God. Ask any politician, by how much will your policies change the temperatures? They won't ask you because the reason for that is, if you knew that it was about nothing, you'd start swearing at them. It is just ludicrous what we're doing, and for Scott Morrison to be part of this con is a disgrace.
And the fact that he doesn't take into consideration the subsidies we spend propping up wind and solar power.
I know.
You could quadruple per megawatt hour the price, and it's not even comparable.
You know, a friend of mine rang me, Terry McCran, rang me this morning because he's obsessed with looking at what the various states are producing in terms of electricity hour by hour. You can go on the internet and you can see it live in front of your eyes. He rang me, he said, you know how much wind power is being generated in South Australia this morning at that particular time that he was looking? Zero, because folks, sometimes the wind stops. Zero power. And for all the Greens saying we're going to rely on wind power, we can go 100% renewables, zero wind power in South Australia.
Exactly. And the ACT is heading down the same 100% renewable policy.
It's idiocy. And I have to repeat it because the politicians on both sides will not tell you. It's all for nothing. Yeah. It won't change the temperature.
Thank you, Andrew. Much appreciated.
No worries, mate.
Andrew Bolt. This is Australia we're living in, and we're screwing it up.